Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Aleph, or like Moshe said, Chulin 101, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we returned to the original topic of the daf, Perek Gidanosha, and that is the halachos of Gidanosha. And the Mishnah Berurah Machlokes Tanoim, the Tanakam in Rabbi Yehuda, whether there's an Isser Gidanosha on a non-kosher animal, or there's no Isser Gidanosha with a non-kosher animal. The Tanakam says, Noyeg B'tahoyra V'inu Noyeg B'tmeya. Gidanosha applies to a kosher animal, but a non-kosher animal does not have the halacha of Gidanosha. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af B'tmeya. I think we're brought a brisa that clarified Rabbi Yehuda's position, and that is that if somebody eats the Gidanosha from a behemoth tmeya, he's going to be like Ishtayim. He gets malchus for eating part of a non-kosher animal. He's also going to get malchus for eating the gidanasha. In other words, a machlekes tanam. If somebody eats the gidanasha of a non-kosher animal, does he get malchus? Was he over the iser gidanasha or was he not? At first glance, this shaila should be tully in a much more global shaila, which is whether we say iser chalal iser or ein iser chalal iser. There's a big machloikis in Shas, whether something that's aser can become aser again. There's a man noma that says ein iser chalal iser. When the Torah stated isurim, what the Torah was saying was that if something is mutter and now meets this criteria, it's going to become aser. But something that's anyways aser can't become aser again. There's a shita in Shas that holds Isser Chalal Isser. There's a shita that holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser, but given certain criteria, then you would say Isser Chalal Isser. What's known as Isser Koilov, Isser Moisif, Isser Chomer. So the backdrop of today's daf is the halach of Gid Hanasha, specifically Gid Hanasha in a behemoth meya, but really the lumdis, as it relates to the halachic principles of today's daf, it ties very much into the sugyas of Isser Chalal Isser. Either way, the Gemara begins with a braisa that really is a hemshach of the Mishnah on daf Kuf Amid Beis. Gufa, ha'ichel gidanasha shol behemet meya. If somebody eats the gidanasha shol behemet meya, Rebbe Mechayim Shtayim, Rebbe says he gets malchus twice. V'Rab Shimon Poit, and Rab Shimon says you don't get malchus at all. Now, we already explained Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda says you get malchus twice. Number one, you ate from behemet meya. Number two, you get malchus because you ate the gidanasha. And even though the Gemara said Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that ein iser chal al iser, but iser gidanasha is different. Shekeni surei lebnei noyach, and something that's also lebnei noyach has a chumrah. The chumrah manifests itself that although ordinarily ein iser chalal iser over here, iser is going to be chalal iser. But the Gemara is going to discuss now Reb Shimon Shita. Reb Shimon says potter. Potter sounds like you don't get malchus at all. There's no malchus for eating part of a non-kosher animal. There's also no malchus for eating the gidanosh. And the Gemara says Reb Shimon mana shach I iser chalal iser. If Reb Shimon holds iser chalal iser l'chayiv nami mishum gid, then you should get two malchus. And ein iser chalal iser. And if he holds ein iser chalal iser l'chayiv mishum tumah dekadem, then at the very least you should get malchus for the fact that you ate from a behemoth meya, which was chronologically the iser that was chal first, as we saw in yesterday's stuff. The iser tumah is chal as soon as the animal is a fetus. The iser gidhanosha is not chal until it's niskashru evarav begidin, which is at somewhat of a later stage. But manav shach, even if Reb Shimon holds ein iser chal al iser, that just means there shouldn't be two malkiyos. But Reb Shimon says potter, it sounds like you're not over at all. Ve'i ein begidim anayis and tam. And if you're going to tell me Reb Shimon holds ein begidim anayis and tam, and that's why there's no iser toma, because really the gid is not considered a Michael, it's only in the context of Gidanasha, where the Torah said al Kain, Lo Yoichu b'nei Yisrael es Gidanasha, that it's even a Shaila, or it's even possible to be over for eating a Gid. But if that's the case, that means there's no Isser Toma. If there's no Isser Toma, then there's no Ein Isser Chal al Isser as it relates to the Gidanasha, then L'chayiv Mishum Gid, you should chayiv for the Gid. But what's Pashup Shana Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon says you're not going to be chayiv at all. Oh my, Rabbi says, L'ilim Kusov Ein Begidim B'Noitzim Tam. You have to say Reb Shimon holds Ein Begidim B'Noitzim Tam. That's why there's no Malchus for Toma. What's the Kasha? Let there be Malchus for Gidanasha. V'Shani Yosem, Dom Akra, Al-Kain Lo Yoichu B'nei Yisrael Es Gidanasha. And we learn from that Pasuk, Misha Gidai Yosur B'Sarei Mutter. The Pasuk's talking about an animal where you're allowed to eat the animal, you just can't eat the Gid. It's over there that the Torah said there's an Issa Gidanasha. Yotzeh Sazu, Shegidai Aser, Ubesara Yaser, as opposed to a non-kosher animal, where the entire animal is off limits, such an animal, where it's not the Gid that's Aser, it's the entire animal that's Aser, doesn't have a Gid, Issa Gidanasha at all. Either way, it would seem from this Gemara that really there's four possibilities, if you break it down, what the halacha would be if somebody eats the gid anasha of a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is one extreme. He holds yichayev shnayim. You get malchus for eating part of a non-kosher animal. You also get malchus for eating the gid anasha. You get malchus feeding the non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds yesh begidim enoisin tam. So if you can't eat a non-kosher animal, you can't eat the gid anasha of a non-kosher animal. Additionally, Rabbi Yehuda holds you over for gid hanasha, and although Rabbi Yehuda shita is a nisachal lesser, but you can't eat sur lebnei noach. Over here, you are going to be over the second iser as well. The other extreme is Rabbi Shimon shita, Rabbi Shimon poiter. Rabbi Shimon says you're not going to be over at all. What's pshat of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon holds ain begidim enoisin tam. So you're not over for eating the gid of a non-kosher animal because the gid is keitz ba'alma. It's not considered food. Thus, when the Torah says don't eat from a non-kosher animal, it did not mean don't eat the sinew of the non-kosher animal. Additionally, Rav Shimon has a drush in the pasuk that says the issa gedanashu was never said for a non-kosher animal. And then you have the Tanakhama in the Mishnah. Tanakhama in the Mishnah seems to say that you would get malchus. You would get malchus, but only one malchus. Not like Rabbi Yehuda that you like Ishtayim, and not like Rav Shimon that you're going to be potter. What are you going to get malchus for? So there's really two ways you can go about it. If the Tanakhama holds yesh begidim enoisin tam and ein nisachal aliser, and he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you say isachal aliser where it's yisur lebenayach, then you're going to get malchus feeding from a behemoth mate because that's the issa that was chal first. If the Tanakhama holds ein begidim benoisin tam, then you're not going to get malchus feeding from a behemoth meya, but assuming he doesn't hold that Reb Shimon, he doesn't hold that this drasha, that the iser gidanasha is only true for kosher animals, meaning the iser gidanasha is true even for non-kosher animals, then the iser you would get malchus for is feeding from the gidanasha. L'may nafkimina hasra. It makes a very big difference, because you can't get malchus unless you get hasra. So if this person who's eating the gidanasha of a non-kosher animal, Tanakhama says you're going to get malchus. One malchus. What's the malchus for? Is the malchus for eating from a non-kosher animal, or is it from eating from the gidanasha? Just from a basic Dafyoimi learning of this Gemara, there's really two possibilities. It depends on if he holds a Rav Shimon's drasha, Isser Chalal Isser, Yesh Begidim Enoisin Tam, Ein Begidim Enoisin Tam. This is basic back of the envelope arithmetic. Either way, there's four possibilities what the halacha would be if somebody eats the Gid Anasha of a behemoth may. Regardless, the Gemara is going to go May Inyan Le Inyan. What if somebody eats the Gid Anasha of a kosher animal, but it was an Avela? So it's a kosher animal, it's a cow, but it's a nevela. Thus, you're not allowed to eat it. What's the halacha with the gidan asha of such an animal? Meaning the Mishnah was discussing the gidan asha of a non-kosher animal, the gidan asha of a chazer. Now we're discussing the gidan asha of a kosher animal that's not kosher because it didn't have a proper shechita. It was a nevela. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda heard in the name of Rav, that it's a machlokes tanoim. Rav Meir mechayev shtayim. Rav Meir says you can be chayev two, v'chachamim may many chayev alachas. Chachamim say you only get to be chayev one. Says the Gemara, moidu chacham l'Rav Meir, the chachamim amoidu to Rav Meir, ba'ichol gidan asha, shel oilo. If somebody eats the gidan asha of kachin, such as a carbon oil, or v'shel sharaniskel, or if somebody eats the gidanasha of a sharaniskel, which is aser bahana, shechayev shtayim, over there you're going to be chayev shtayim. So before the next line of Gemara, so what's the beer in the machloikis, Rav Meir in the Chachamim? So Rav Yehuda said, I heard in the name of Rav, who said over that there's a machloikis tanoi, not Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon like we had in the previous Gemara, but rather Rav Meir in the Chachamim, if somebody eats the gidanasha of a kosher animal, that's an avela. Rav Meir says that it's pashit, you're going to be over gid hanasha, and you're going to be over isn't available as well. The Chachamim say, ein eichayiv alachas. Now, which achas are you going to be chayiv according to the Chachamim? It's pashit that you're going to be chayiv for the gid hanasha. The reason the Chachamim hold you only chayiv achas has to be because ein isser, there's no drushes over here. It's because of ein isser chalal isser. The isser gid hanasha is chal before the isn't available. Obviously, the Issa Nevela is not chal until the animal dies. The Issa Gidanasha is chal while the animal is still alive. So the Issa Gidanasha is first. Thus, the Chachamim hold you over for the Issa Gidanasha, not for the Issa Nevela, whereas Rav Meir holds you're going to be over for the Issa Gidanasha and for the Issa Nevela. Now, in the Hemshech of the Gemara, it's going to be clear that Rav Meir also holds a Nisachal Issa. The reason he holds you're going to be over for the Issa Nevela is because Issa Nevela, being chal on Issa Gidanasha, is one of the carve-outs. It's one of the exceptions to the rule. It meets one of the safe harbors in the laws of a Nisachal Issa, meaning ordinarily a Nisachal Issa. But there are times where Isser, for the attorneys, are chalal isser. So for example, isser koil. Isser koil means where the second isser is koilel more than the first isser. Isser nevela is koilel more than isser gidan asha. Why? It's very simple. Isser gidan asha affects
one sinew, one of the 365 gidin. That's all it affects. Issin avela affects the entire animal. All the basar in the animal are included in the issin avela. So Rav Meir says that being that the issin avela is koilel more than the issin gidanasha, thus, even though I ordinarily hold anus a chalalis, so over here, issin is going to be chalalis. If that's the case, it comes out that the chachamim hold anus a chalalis, even when it's issin koilel. So we have a shita sachachamim who are less lahu iser koil ein iser chalal iser even nevel on top of gidan asha, despite the fact that nevel on gidan asha really is koil. Clearly, they hold that ein iser chalal iser even when there's iser koil. Stating that, Rav Yehuda said another halacha in the name of Rav. Umoidim chachamim l'Rav Meir, that the chachamim umoidim to Rav Meir, then when it comes to the gidan asha of inoila or a shoran niskal, over there you're going to be chayiv shtayim. There, we're going to be mighty. What's the pshat? So, Pasha, you're going to tell me, because Oila is more than just Gidanasha, because Sharaniskal is more than just Gidanasha. The problem is, we just said that the Chachamim don't hold this Akoil. So, if they don't hold this Akoil, despite the fact that Nevela is more than Gidanasha, so why are they mighty when it comes to Oila, when it comes to Sharaniskal? The Teretz is, because Oila and Sharaniskal is not more quantitatively. It's more qualitatively. The way Nevela is more than Gidan Asha affects one gid. Nevela affects more quantity. It affects the entire animal. Oila is more in Echos. It's more qualitatively. Gidan Asha is a loisase. If somebody eats from the Gidan Asha, he gets Malkus. It's a regular loisase. Oila, in addition to the Isser Achila, if somebody eats Kachim, he's getting involved in Me'ila. There's also an Isser Hana. Sharan Iskal is also Asabana. So it affects the gid more qualitatively speaking. The Gemara refers to it as Isser Chamur. Taisva says, don't confuse this with Isser Moisif, Ayin Shah. But the point is that the Gemara refers to it as Isser Chamur, which comes out then that although the Chachamim are less lu Isser Koilu, they hold that if the second Isser is more Chamur qualitatively, there the halacha would be that they would agree. Isser Chalal Isser, says the Gemara. Uman Haytana. So now that we have information about the Chachamim, let's try to figure out who this anonymous Chachamim is. Man, I tanned the Bissakoil is a Chalal is a Leslu, but Issakoil be Issachamer Isle. You see, the Chachamim don't hold of it, your classic Issakoil. Thus, if somebody eats the Gidan Ash of an Avela, we say in Ein Issachalal is an Avela, despite the fact that an Avela is Issachoil, because it's Koil more than the Gidan Ash. Gidan Ash only affects this one Gid, whereas Issan Avela infects the entire animal. Stating that, where it's Issakoil be Issachamer, such as Oila and Sharanisko, which is more chomer. Why is it more chomer? Because it's also Asad Bana, as opposed to Gidan Asha, which is Mutter Bana. They do all this. Oh, my Rabbi said, Rabbi Yisai Agli. It's Rabbi Yisai Agli. I can tell you who the Chacham is. It's time we know into the Mishnah. Tamish Achal Kodesh. So we know, we're familiar with the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. It always comes up. And the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav really mean one of two things. Sometimes it's referring to someone that's Tame, that either ate Kachim or entered the Beis HaMikdash. Alternatively, it could be referring to someone that's tahar, that ate kachim that was tameh. And it's a very big difference. If someone's tameh and he eats kachim, in addition to be over an iser, it's also chi of karas. If someone's tahar and he eats kachim that's tameh, there's no iser karas. So tumas haguf is more chamer than tumas hachefza. So if the person is tameh, it's what's known as tumas haguf, there's drashes, there's even a chi of karas, as opposed to if it's the person was tahar and he just ate a davar tamei, there is no chiv kar. So we have a Mishnah. Tamei sha'ach al kodesh. Someone that was tamei, he ate kodesh. Ben kodesh, tamei, ben kodesh. It doesn't matter if the kachem was tamei or tahar. Chayev. He's going to be chayev. Meaning he's chayev chattas if he does a b'shoigig. He's over the issachar. So Rabbi Yisak Lili Yomir, Rabbi Yisak Lili says, tamei sha'ach al satar chayev. If someone was tamei and he ate kachem that was tahar, he's going to be chayev. But tamei sha'ach al satar chayev. If someone tamei ate kachem that was tamei, pati is going to be potter. The reason is, shalay achal el davar tamei. Being that he only ate a davar tamei, we have a machlokes with Yosef Aglili and the Tanakama in this Mishnah. This is a Mishnah, incidentally, Masechta Zvachim. So we have a machlokes with Yosef Aglili and the Tanakama. If someone was Tame and he ate Kachim Tame, does he get Karis? Is there a Chi of Chatas or is there no Chi of Chatas? Tame Sha'achal Kachim Tar, for sure. The question is, what about Tame Sha'achal Tame? Amrulai. So the Chachamim told Rabbi Yosef Aglili a very geshmakatayna. Av Tame Sha'achal Asatar, Kimin Shanagabai Tamu. I don't understand. How could you tell me that if someone's Tame and he eats Kachim Tame, he's going to be potter? Every single time a Tame eats Kachim, before he eats it, he touched it. When he touched it, he was Matamet. So by the time he ate it,
it was already tameh. So if that's the case, every case of tameh she'achal kachem, even tahar, is a case of tameh she'achal kachem tameh. And still, you see, he's chayef. So how could you, Rabbi Yosef, really tell me that a tameh she'achal kachem tameh is going to be potter? Says the Gemara, shaper coming later, Rabbanu Rabbi Yosef, it's a good taina. Amar Rava, Rava said, I'll explain to you. You're right. In a case where the person was first tameh and then the baser became tameh, Rabbi Yosef really agrees he's chayef. And therefore, he agrees to what the Chachamim said. You're 100% right. If someone's Tameh and he eats Kachem Tahar and then he's Metamit, he's going to be Chayiv in that case. It's always that way. And you're going to be Chayiv. If the person became Tameh before the Basar became Tameh, then he's going to be Chayiv. The Issachar is Kadim, because the Issachar came first, and being that the Issachar of Tumas HaGuf is an Issachar, you don't say later when the Kachem became Tameh, now the Issachar falls away. There's nowhere for it to go. Therefore, you're going to be chayiv. Keep pleading. When Rabbi Yitzchak Levi says halacha that a tamei she'achal kachem tamei is going to be potter, but nitma basar back nitma guf. That's only if first the basar became tamei, and then he became tamei. Rabbanan is l'isser koil. The Rabbanan hold the isser koil. The migdum chayiv achatichas tahiris ta'alma mechayiv nami achaticha tmeya. They hold isser koil. They hold that even though when the basar was tamei, this person was not allowed to eat it, now that he became tamei, it's going to be chal iser tumas haguf as well. Why? The reason it's going to be chal is because the iser tumas haguf is koilo more than the iser tumas basa. Tumas basa only affected this one piece of meat. So if there's a piece of kachem that's tameh, no one's allowed to eat it. Now that the person became tameh, he can't eat all kachem in the world. So obviously, the second iser affects more. Rabbi Yosef Glili, that's the iser koil. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Glili doesn't hold of iser koil. The migul ayamrina, he doesn't hold of this migul. And as a result, Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that enachinami, if the person became tameh first and then the kachem became tameh, you'll be chayiv. Like the Rabbanon proved from every case of tameh she'achal es hakachem. But at the same time, if first the basa became tamei and then the person became tamei, over there you're not going to be chayv. But what's the bottom line? Bottom line is you have a shitas Rabbi Yosef Glili in Masechet Zvachim, Daf Kuf Vav, where Rabbi Yosef Glili seems to say that even though there is a concept of Issa Koil, he's less than Issa Koil. Zok the Gemara, man chachamim who hold that you don't say Issa Koil, it's Rabbi Yosef Glili. You see, Rabbi Yosef Glili in that Mishnah tucked away in Masechet Zvachim, he holds that ein Issa Chal al Issa, afilu b'makim Issa Koil. Because if he held of Issa Koil, he would hold that if there was a piece of meat that was tameh, and then a person became tameh, if he ate that meat, he would be chayef for the Issa Tumas Aguf, because Issa Tumas Aguf is koil more than the Issa Tumas Basif. And the fact that he holds that even in that case, Ein Issa Chal Lisser, you see, he holds Ein Issa Chal Lisser, even where it's an Isser koil. Now, Rashi points out that we had an objective. Man hait chachamim. Who's the chachamim that hold Ein Issa Chal Lisser, even by Issa koil? But if the second is more chomer, then they do hold Issa Koil. The Gemara said it's Rabbi Yosef Glili. Really, we only proved the first half. We just found from Rabbi Yosef Glili that Rabbi Yosef Glili holds Ein Issa Chal al Issa Afilu B'malka Issa Koil. But where do you see in Rabbi Yosef Glili that he holds that if the second is would be more chomer, such as Oyla and Shara Nisko being Chal and Gidan Asha, Umaydim Chacham al-Ramer? You don't have a proof to that. Rashi points out that that's true, and Rashi doesn't really give much of an explanation. But he just says that Enchanami, the Gemara, is just proving the first half as it relates to the second half. The Gemara must know that in Svara. But either way, the Gemara, just to be clear, did not prove everything it set out to prove. The Gemara was trying to say, Man Hay Chachamim, that hold, you don't say Isser Koilo, but you do say Isser Chomer. The Gemara said Rabbi Yosef Aglili. All we proved was that Rabbi Yosef Aglili doesn't hold of Isser Koilo. We did not prove clearly that Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds of Isser Chomer, but must be that the Gemara held that in Svara, everyone's going to hold that Isser Chomer is definitely going to work. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, he did Isser Koilo last little bit Isser Kal. You have Isser Chomer, you have Isser Kal. If we just said that Rabbi Yosef Aglili doesn't hold of Isser Koilo, but he's the Chachamim in the brisa that we brought earlier, as it relates to the halachas of Gidan Asher by the Veil, or Gidan Asher by Eilon Shar Niskel, it means that even Rabbi Yosef doesn't hold of Issa Koil, but he holds of Issa Koil when it's more chomer. Tainas the Gemara, in that Mishnah, Mesechta Zvachim, L'chayre, the second Isser, is more chomer than the first Isser. Because what was the first Isser? The first Isser was the fact that there was kachem that was tameh. Now let it eat kachem that's tameh. So right now that's Isser. The second Isser was the fact that the person became tameh, tumas aguf.
So the Gemara referred to it as an Isser Kail. You see, Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't hold of Isser Kail. But Tainis, the Gemara is more than just an Isser Kail. It's an Isser Chamer as well. Why is it an Isser Chamer? Because Tumas Hakuf has Karis, as opposed to Tumas Basa doesn't have Karis. It's afraid the Gemara Nihid Isser Kail less of Isser Kail. You have a Yisser Chamer, you have a Isser Kail. My Nihid Tumas Hakuf. Shari Tumas Hakuf Bekaris. Amir Ravashi. Ravashi said, Man Lamel on Tumas Hakuf Chamer. How do you know Tumas Hakuf is more Chamer? Tumas Tumas Basa Chamer, the less late Tire Bemikva. You're right. On some level, Tumas Hakuf is more Chamer because Karis, but at the same time, when a person's Tameh, he can go to the mikvah. If Basar is Tameh, there's nothing you can do with it. And as a result, says the Gemara, maybe that's a Chumrah, and that's why even though Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds of Issa Kailah when it's more Chumr, such as Oyla and Shor HaNisko being Chal and Gedanasha, but that's not an example of Issa Chumr. It says the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the Gemara, Leslo Issachol. Does Rabbi Yossi Aglili not hold of Issachol? Meaning, we have more information about Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We said, who's the Chum that doesn't hold of Issachol? So the Gemara says, it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Tanya, we have another Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Shabbos, Vime Kippurim. Shabbos fell out on Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos. And somebody went ahead and he did Melacha B'shoikik. Shagag v'asamalach. How do you know that this person now is going to be chayev two chatos? He's going to be chayev a chatos for Shabbos, and he's going to be chayev a chatos for Yom Kippur. Talmud Loimar, it says Shabbosi, and it says Yom Kippurim hu. Sheishes yomim tasamalach v'yim ashvi Shabbos shavos amikru kodesh komal lecho loisasu Shabbosi l'Hashem. It says Shabbosi. With regards to Yom Kippur, it says v'ach ba'asalach v'yim ashvi hazeh Yom Kippurim hu. Who? Mikra Koide. Shabbos, see, Yom Kippurim. Who? Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Says Rabbi Yosi Aglili. That teaches me somehow that you're going to be chayif for Shabbos bifnei Atzmai and you're going to be chayif for Yom Kippur bifnei Atzmai. Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says, chayif alachas. You can only be chayif one. What's the kasha? The kasha is, how can you be chayif for both? How can you be chayif for Shabbos and Yom Kippur? Now, if you hold of Isser Koilel, I understand that you can be chayif for both at the same time. Because you'll tell me that each one is Koilel more than the other. Yom Kippur has more than Shabbos, because Yom Kippur has additional Yisurim. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, supposed to Shabbos, where there's a mitzvah to eat. Shabbos has more than Yom Kippur. Shabbos is more chomet, there's an issur skila, as opposed to Yom Kippur, which is merely, that's the ein bein, the Mishnah, the first back of Pesachas Megillah, where it's merely a chi of karas. But if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yosi Aglili doesn't hold a visa koilel, then how could Rabbi Yosi Aglili in this Mishnah say that you're going to be chayiv both for Shabbos and for Yom Kippur? Now, what's the obvious question? They're both Chal B'Vasachas. So if they're both Chal B'Vasachas, when is it Shabbos? Right? When the sun sets. Rabbeinu Tam, Shkia, Ben Ashmashes. But the same time it's Shabbos, it's Yom Kippur. This place for Shabbos, this place is Yom Kippurim. Luchura, it's all the same thing. So Rashi asks the Kasha. It's a long Rashi. Ayin Shom. But either way, that's the Gemara's Kasha. That with saying now, though, who's the chacham that doesn't hold the Mitzvah Koyos? Rabbi Yosi Aglili. How do we know that for the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim? So we want Rabbi Yosi Aglili to be the Tan and the Brizer with regards to Gedan Asha. Here, Abba Mufurish Rabbi Yosi Aglili, with regards to Shabbos and Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yosi Aglili seems to hold of Issachal Alisra. I feel a bit of Koyos, a bit of Moisif. Because otherwise, how could there be Shabbos and Yom Kippur? You're going to be chayiv both for Shabbos and for Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Sholach Rovin, Mishum de Rabbi Yosi Bereb Chanina, Kachat Sosha Mishnah. I'm going to tell you how you have to learn this Mishnah. The epoch, you flip it around. You have to say that really it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili who said that eini chayiv al achas, and it's Rabbi Akiva that said you're going to be chayiv shtayim. Why is Rabbi Yosi Aglili hold you only chayiv achas? Because Rabbi Yosi Aglili l'shitasai, who's less with Isser Koilo, says the Gemara. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yaakov bar Giyur mishum Rabbi Yochanan. The divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili said there was a telegram that came. Mishum de Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, who said as follows. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, based on the edited Girsa in the Brice that Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds, if somebody does Malacha B'Shoigig on Yom Kippur Shchalias B'Shabbos, he's going to be Chayiv only once. L'mayda Afchon Shogag B'Shabbos V'Hezad Yom Kippurim. If somebody was a Shogig with regards to Shabbos and he was amazed with regards to Yom Kippur, meaning he didn't chapu with Shabbos, but he knew it was Yom Kippur, he was doing Malacha Chayiv. He's going to be Chayiv Chattis for the fact that he was a Shogig on Shabbos. He's at B'Shabbos Shogig Yom Kippurim, but if it was in the reverse, let's say he was amazed with regards to Shabbos, but he was a shoyger with regards to Yom Kippur, Potter, you're going to be Potter. Interesting. So Rabbi Yochanan said that, you know what the beer in Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the way we had it in the original Brisa, Rabbi Akiva, the edited Brisa, is Rabbi Yosi Aglili who says that Yom Kippur Shechalias B'Shabbos is going to be Chayiv Achas. Which Achas are you going to be Chayiv for? So Rabbi Yochanan said, it's not either or, it's only Shabbos. Shabbos you're going to be chayav for, not for Yom Kippur. My time. Mecha teisi, Amr Abaya. Abaya said as far as Shabbos kviya v'kaima, Yom Kippur and Beidina, de ka kavile. Because Shabbos came before Yom Kippur. Shabbos is Mamish from Sheish Yisimei Bereshis. Yom Kippur, that requires Beis Din. That's at a later time. The point is that Shabbos is loy mishpata b'chayra, because Shabbos was here first. So in the sugya of Enes Echal, the fact that Shabbos is kvi v'kaima, it's automatic. It doesn't need bezdin. It's sheishes meibere. It goes back to the days of creation. So for that reason, Shabbos is considered the meyuchas here. It's first, as opposed to Yom Kippur, which is going to be second. Amalei Rava. So Rava told Abaya, that's a nice svara, but soiv, travayu badi adadi kasu. How could such a svara penetrate the sugyas of Enes Echal Alissa? Enes Echal Alissa, which issu was chal first? They both chal at the same time. Shabbos punked, you know, his star, if you know the rest of the story, so Shabbos goes back much further, etc. But what does it have to do with anything? In the sugyas of Enes Echal Alissa, a brother said, soif. At the end of the day, travayu badi adadi kasu. Hello, my Rava. That's a shtickle pun. Shema dahava. So Rava said that when this message came from Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said that, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that holds that you only chayav one chatas for doing a malach b'shoigik on Yom Kippur Shechalias b'Shabbos, and which one, Shabbos, the message was a little bit mixed up. And really, there were two things going on. Shmada hava. There was a shas hashmad. It was a Shas Hashmad. It was a time that there was a decree that the Jews were not allowed to observe Yom Kippur. And because they weren't allowed to observe Yom Kippur, it was a very big problem. So Chum got together and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a secret day. We're going to pick a day and it's going to be Yom Kippur. And the day they picked was Shabbos, which in and of itself has halachic implications. Not for today. But they decided that Shabbos is going to be Yom Kippur. And with regards to that day, they said that if somebody's going to go ahead and he's going to be a shoigig with regards to Shabbos, then he's going to have to be in Karmel Chattas. If he's going to be a Shoigig with regards to Yom Kippur on that day, he's not going to be in Karmel Chattas. You know what? He's not Yom Kippur. It was just like a Zecher for Yom Kippur. They didn't want there to be no Yom Kippur that year. So they decided that they couldn't make it on Yom Tishrei because everybody was going to be looking out to make sure that Jews aren't observing it. So they picked the day, they chose Shabbos, and it was on that Shabbos and Yom Kippur, which had fallen out on the same day, that Rabbi Yochanan said, so Rabbi Yochanan was saying two things. Rabbi Yochanan said, Kachatzah Shal Mishnah, that Rabbi Yosef Aglili is the one that holds that you only chayav one. As it relates to the second thing Rabbi Yochanan said, that the one that you'd be chayav chattas for is the Shabbos, not Yom Kippur. He was referring to that day because it really wasn't Yom Kippur. But if it was really Yom Kippur, then of course it's either or. If you were shogeg for Shabbos, you'd bring a chatas for being a shogeg on Shabbos. And if you were shogeg for Yom Kippur, you'd bring a chatas for being a shogeg. It says the Gemara, V'sholch mitam diyam kippurim dehoshos shabbatohu. That's the end of the beer that Rava was saying. He said that there was this year that there was a gzeir, there was a shas hashmatz. They decided that year Shabbos should be Yom Kippur. Chinti yaser Ravin v'chol nechusi amru k'Rava. Rava came and all the yidden came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they reported they all had heard the same thing for Rabbi Yochanan. That when Rabbi Yochanan said this memra as it relates to Yom Kippur Shacholias b'Shabbos, that you're only going to be chayv chatas if you're shogeging on the Shabbos, not if you're shogeging on the Yom Kippur. He wasn't referring to your classic case of Shabbos for Yom Kippurim that fall out on the same day. Over there, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, chayv achas, which one? Either. It doesn't matter. He was referring to this case where it was a Shas Hashman. Either way, exhale. So we just concluded a sugya that's relates to really a Shas idea, the sugya of Issachal Alissa, and as we saw, the Gemara touched on Ein Issachal Alissa in many different contexts. Began with a Mishnah Daf Kuf Amud Beis, which discusses the halachas of Gid Anasha with regards to a Behemet Meya. The Gemara went from there and discussed what about Gid Anasha that is on a kosher animal that's an Avela. What about the Gid Anasha of Kachin? What about the Gid Anasha of Asherah Niskal? We had a case of Ein Issachal Alissa with regards to someone that's Tomei that eats Kachin that's Tomei. If someone's tummy is not allowed to eat kachim. If kachim is tummy, no one's allowed to eat it. They're two independent isurim. They're related to the same sugya, but they're two independent isurim. How does that relate to the sugyas of Enes Echal Alissa? And then finally, Shabbos v'Yom Kippur, that fall out on the same day, if somebody does melacha b'shoigig, is it going to be chayev for doing melacha on Shabbos b'shoigig, Yom Kippur b'shoigig, both, only one? We saw machloikis, Rabbi Yehudim, Rabbi Shimon. We saw machloikis, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. We saw machloikis, Rabbi Yosei Haglili, and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosei Haglili and the Chachamim. So this is a sugya arucha, trap more Gemara. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, v'alei b'mnei Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah proved his shita. Rabbi Yehuda said that Gidah Anosha is going to be chal, even by a behemoth meya. And he said it has to be that way, because the Isser Gid HaNosha goes back to the times of Yaakov Avinu. And at that time, Adayim Behemet Tumeim Uteraslam, they were letting non-kosher animals. In the times of Parshas Vayishlach, it was only Negei or kosher animals. There were no kosher animals in Parshas Vayishlach. Amru Loisir, Chachamim told him, B'sinai Nemel, Hashem Lichtav M'koymer. It's true. The Torah mentions the Issa Gedanosh in Parshas Vayishlach, but it wasn't said in Parshas Vayishlach. Really, it was said B'sinai. It was just written in Parshas Vayishlach. But Enochinami, the Issa wasn't said at that time. Had it been said at that time, then it would affect even non-kosher animals. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Amr Leila Rabbi Yehuda, Chachamim told Rabbi Yehuda, V'chin Emmer, Al-Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yaakov. So in the Braisa, the Chachamim are marchiv a little bit, their argument to Rabbi Yehuda. They told Rabbi Yehuda, had it said in the Pasuk, Al-Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yaakov. So then you could hear that maybe the Loisa say of Gidan Asher was said in real time. But that's not what it says. V'aloi Loi Nemer, Ela B'nei Yisrael. V'loi Nikru B'nei Yisrael at Sinai. We know the Yidden weren't called B'nei Yisrael until Sinai. Ela says, the Chachamim B'Sinai Nemer, being that it says B'nei Yisrael, you see that the Issa was said to B'nai Yisrael at the time that the Jews were called B'nai Yisrael, which is Sinai, Ela Shenichtav B'mkoyma. It was written in Parshas Vayishlach. Why? Leida Me'ezet HaNeselem. So we should have a time of the crow. So we should know why there's an Issa Gedanash. Masav Rava. Rava said, is it true that the Jews were not called B'nai Yisrael until Har Sinai? There's a pasuk. Vayisu B'nai Yisrael Es Yaakov Avinu. It says the B'nai Yisrael carried Yaakov Avinu. This is in Parshas Vayichi, when they went to bury Yaakov Avinu in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. So you see that the Jews were referred to as B'nai Yisrael. So it says the Gemara La'achar Maisa, that you're right. After Parshas Vayishlach, it could be the Yidden were referred to as B'nai Yisrael. But in Parshas Vayishlach, for sure they're not referred to yet as B'nai Yisrael. Because where the Pasuk says, Al-Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nai Yisrael, the whole mention of Yisrael is the fact that the Malach referred to Yaakov Avinu as Yisrael. And that wouldn't be enough for now the Torah to use that word Yisrael and refer to the Jews as B'nai Yisrael. But then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's masking to the name Yisrael, at that point, by Parashat Vayechi, that had already happened, it could be the Jews would be referred to as B'nai Yisrael. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rav Rav Ashi, so Rav Acha Brei de Rav asked Rav Ashi, if that's the case, Mahi Shaita Litzer. I mean, it sounds like there is some turning point where the Jews are now referred to as B'nai Yisrael, which is even before Har Sinai. How do you know that? You see that in Parashas Vayechi. It's not Parashas Vayishlach, I hear. But you see it a little bit later. Kadosh Baruch Hu is masking to the name Yisrael. And from that point forward, the Jews will be referred to as B'nai Yisrael. So, Freik the Gemara, at that point at least, let the Issa Gedanosh have gone into effect. And at that point, there was still no behemoth Tahiris. So, shouldn't that fight to be a right to Rabbi Yehuda that Issa Gedanosh is true, even for a behemoth? Mayo Amalei. So, Rav Ashi told Rav Acha Brei de Rava, V'chi Torah Pa'amim Pa'amim Nitma. Was the Torah given multiple times? It wasn't given multiple times. There's only two possibilities of when the Issa Gedanosh was given. It was either given B'Shas Maisa and B'Shas Vayishlach, or it was given by Maimon Har Sinai. But to say that the Issa Gedanosh was given at some random time doesn't make any sense. So being that it's written in Parashas Vayishlach, you would think that maybe it was given in Parashas Vayishlach. The problem is the Chachamim are telling Rabbi Yehuda that in Parashas Vayishlach, the Yidden are referred to as B'nai Yisrael. So as a result, if the Yidden are referred to there as B'nai Yisrael, you see that it's not written, so to speak, in real time. If that's the case, when would it be? The only other option is Matan Torah, because it's not a stabber that would have been given anywhere between Parashas Vayishlach and Matan Torah. There's a lot to talk about it this Gemara. Maybe we'll speak about it on Sunday, Miyatz Hashem. But for now, to go back to really the main sugya of the week, which was the halachos of Issa Beheter, the halachos of Bittul Beroy, Bittul Beshishim, Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila. So it was a very intense week of Daf Yoimi, and I thought it was kedai to finish the week with something fascinating, something that I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld. He was kind enough to sit down with me and share this incredible raid, and we spent a few hours together, and obviously time doesn't allow for us to go through this together like a bench, so this is a super abridged version, not nearly as funny as the way it was presented to me, not as lundish either, but just a little bit about the history of the kashrus of Coca-Cola in the United States of America. So we're all familiar with a can of Coke. And what's interesting is that Jews have been drinking Coke since the 1920s, early 1930s. In fact, Coca-Cola was advertised as being kosher in a lot of journals and newspapers that were mikubal in the Heimish Kreisen as being Coke. Just to read from a Pardes journal. So there was a Pardes journal that was edited by Rav Pardes, who lived in Chicago. This was very, very popular in the 1920s, a lot of, and the 1930s. And there's an advertisement. It says, Vashtiya Kados,
Trinken is alamo gesund. Trinken Coca-Cola is avada gesund, etc., etc. But this is an advertisement for Coca-Cola in the Paradise Journal. I mean, this was mainstream Orthodox Judaism. And you'd find advertisements everywhere. So Coca-Cola was considered to be kosher. It was considered to be kosher of Pesach. And nobody ever questioned. Problem is, in the early 1930s, some rabbanim around the United States realized that, what's going on over here? I mean, everybody knows that the formula of Coca-Cola is a secret formula. In fact, until recently, it was kept in a vault in a SunTrust bank in Atlanta, Georgia. About 10 years ago, Coca-Cola, in a move that, you know, made a big a PR splash, they moved the secret formula to the World of Coca-Cola headquarters, which is a museum that they operate in Atlanta, and it was a very big deal. But Adayoyim Azeh, there are yechidim in the world, yechidim, anonymous yechidim, we don't even know who those people are, that are familiar with the exact formula of Coca-Cola. This is something that's been under lock and key since the beginning of time. And the question was, if nobody knows the ingredients of Coca-Cola, and nobody has any clue what's in there, then how do we know it's kosher? I mean, Jews are drinking Coca-Cola. It's at the Pesach Seder. We have no idea what's there. So if you don't know the ingredients, if you don't know the formula, there's no way in the world to know that it's kosher. And there was a big tumult amongst the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan weren't sure what to do, and they decided that they're going to send a letter to a Yid whose name was Rav Tuvia Geffen. Rav Tuvia Geffen was a Litvish Yid. He was born in 1870 in Kovno. In 1903, after a terrible pogrom in Europe, he decided that it was too dangerous to live in Europe. He took his family, he moved to the United States. Initially, he settled in Canton, Ohio. And after spending many years in Canton, he moved to Atlanta. He was a rav in Atlanta for 60 years. He had tremendous arichas yom. He was born in 1870. He passed away in 1970, a few months shy of his 100th birthday. The point is, in the early 1930s, he was living in Atlanta, Georgia. Coca-Cola is based out of Atlanta. And the Rabbanim felt that, being that this was a Litvish Yid who was versed in Shasu Poiskim, he was a Slabotka Talmud, he was the right person to try to penetrate Coca-Cola and find out whether Coca-Cola is in fact kosher. So they sent him letters, and they asked him if this is something that he could try to look into. It just so happens, by a stroke of luck, or as Rabbi Bienenfeld referred to it, as Hashkocha, through Hashkocha, Rabbi Geffen had made a friend who was going to be very helpful. I'm reading from an article titled, Is Coca-Cola Kosher? Rabbi Tobias, also known as Rav Tuvia Geffen, and the History of American Orthodoxy. It seems that Rabbi Geffen had made a friend whose name was Mr. Harold Hirsch. Harold Hirsch was the general counsel of Coca-Cola. He defended Coca-Cola in the Supreme Court for some of the big and very important trademark rulings that they got in the early years. But either way, senior executive, later to become vice president of Coca-Cola. At the time, he was general counsel. He was also Jewish. He was a prominent member of a very influential Reform temple in Atlanta at the time. Now I'm reading from the article. According to Geffen family lore, Rabbi Geffen's daughter, Helen Geffen, attended public school with one of Hirsch's children. Helen was chosen as the class valedictorian and delivered the valedictorian address at the graduation. Harold Hirsch, he's the general counsel, was so impressed with her address that he paid for Helen's college education at the University of Georgia, his beloved alma mater. Rabbi Geffen remained indebted to Hirsch, and a friendship developed between them. So much so that when this letter came to Rabbi Geffen, and he was told, can you try to penetrate Coca-Cola and find out if it's kosher? See, he had a friend in the inside. So he goes over to Mr. Harold Hirsch, and he asks, Harold Hirsch, would you allow me to have access to the secret formula of Coca-Cola? I want to know if Jews are allowed to drink it. He said, it's no way in the world. It's not possible. I can't get you access to it. See, so listen, I understand. I totally get it. But at the same time, if we can't determine exactly what's in Coca-Cola, I'm going to have no choice but to issue a psak that Coca-Cola is not kosher. Mr. Hirsch, out of respect to Rabbi Geffen and to the fact that he, you know, was a Jew, told him, you know, give me a little bit of time, let me see if I can work it. 6 months later, he came to him and he told him, I can get you access. He brings Rabbi Geffen inside, and Rabbi Geffen is given access to the ingredients. It just so happens his daughter, who was now attending University of Georgia, was going to school as a chemist. He gave his daughter the ingredients of Coca-Cola. She analyzed them a little bit, and together, what they realized was that it was very, very not poshut that Coca-Cola is kosher. In fact, there was one ingredient in Coca-Cola
glycerin, which was a byproduct of an animal, clearly non-kosher animals, at the very least, animals that are nevelos, because these animals didn't have proper shechita, and as a result, it's not so poshut that Coca-Cola was kosher. But before we continue, we have to take a step backwards and really go into a very important, at the end of the day, this is a Daf Yomi share, a very important halachic discussion. And that is as follows. We're all familiar with Chalav Akim. Everyone knows that Chalav Akim is awesome. Chalav Stam is a bezunder shmus. But as it relates to Chalav Akim, it's a Mishnah Mesechtas Avodah Zarah. Chalav Shechol Vayakim, Ve'en Yisrael Royeyu, the halach is you're not allowed to drink it. Why not? Because we're afraid that maybe the milk is not from a kosher animal. Maybe the non-Jew is really giving you non-kosher milk, meaning milk from a non-kosher animal, and he's telling you that it's kosher milk. Thus, the halacha is that cholav shechol v'yakim, you did not see the goy milk the cow, you're not allowed to drink from it. There's another halacha that gvinas akim is aser, that cheese of a goy is also. Meaning, you can't buy milk from a goy, you also can't buy cheese. Now, first glance, you're going to tell me, of course you can't buy cheese. You can't buy milk, you can't buy cheese. Hey, make cheese from milk. So if you can't buy milk, if the chalav is already awesome, of course the gemina is awesome. But really, it's a mistake. And the Gemara says in Masechtas Vayedazar Daf Lamed Hey that the reason it's a mistake is because milk of a non-kosher animal can never become cheese. So if you have cheese, you know for sure it's from a kosher animal. Because if it was from a non-kosher animal, it can never become cheese. Which means that the takana of chalav akum does not relate to gvinos akum. Because what's the takana of chalav akum? Maybe it's from a non-kosher animal. Cheese cannot be made from non-kosher milk. Thus, Gvinos Akum is for sure not Chalav Akum. Stating that, Gvinos Akum is aser. And the Gemara has a whole arichas why exactly it's aser. The Gemara brings Shmuel's memory. Shmuel said, you want to know why Gvinos Akum is aser? The way that back in the day they would make cheese is they would take milk, they would put it in the keva, after learning Perikei L'Treifus, we know what a keva is, it's the abomasum, it's the fourth stomach of the cow. So they would take the milk, they would put it in the keva, and they would enzymes that would emit from the keva into the milk that would cause the milk to then become cheese. The point is, the way they would make cheese was they would stick it inside nevela. They would put it into the keva of the animal. The non-kosher animals are all nevela. So as a result, when you buy gvinos akum, you have a little bit of nevela in it. And for that reason, it's awesome. So chalav akum is awesome and gvinos akum is awesome, but for two different reasons. Chalav akum is awesome because you're concerned that maybe it's not kosher milk. Gvinos akum is awesome not because of the history and the origin of the milk. You know the milk was kosher. It came from a cow. The reason it's a problem is something else. It's a problem you're worried about belias of nevela that may be inside the gvina. Stating that, all the Rishayim ask a very obvious question. We're learning the sugyas of Issa V'Hetta now. And we just learned that Mimbei Neiminai, even though there's something called Tam Ke'ikr, and even though Rabbeinu Tam Shita, the way it's Kepaskin in the Shulchan Aruch Yerodei, Yosef Tzadik Ches, is that Tam Ke'ikr is the Raisa. But once there's Shishim, of course, there's something called Bittul B'Shishim. It's a fregin ala Rishonim. Now what's Poshib Shana Shmuel's Halacha and Avodah Zarah Taf Lamed here? Shmuel said, Gvinas Akim is awesome, and Neisha Amin, Neisha Barakev is Nevela. What are you worried about? The little bit of Nevela that's inside the milk, that little bit of Nevela is bottle by LF. So if it's bottle by LF, you have a bittle. So if you have a bittle, what should be the problem? And there's two primary mahalchim in the Rishonim to answer this kasha. The first is the Rambam. And it's kedai to hear the Rambam inside. The Rambam is in Hilchas Machalos Asurais, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. Says the Rambam. Mipnei zeh yitin adin, shekol cholav anim tzibiyad goy, asa shem iru bay cholav behem etmeya. The Rambam was discussing the fact that if a guy milks a cow and you didn't see him milking, it's possible that it's non-kosher milk. So the Rambam says, based on that, it makes sense why chalav akum should be also. But gvinas a guy muteris. But the gvin of a guy really should be muter. She'ein chalav behem et meim eskabin. Because the mitzvah is that the milk of a non-kosher animal can never become cheese. Avol, says the Rambam, b'mei chach mei ha-mishnah, in the times of the chach ha-mishnah, gazru al gvinas a guy, the chachav made a takana about gvinas akum. Va'asru, and they said it's also. Why? Not for the same reason chalav akum is also, that you don't have. But rather, nesh ma'mid, the noise of our akeva shal shchit. Shmuel's halacha, Avodah Zarah, Lamed Hey. It's because they're maimed by Ibra Kevis Nevel. The Imtoimer says the Rambam, Valley Ira Kevah, Dover Kotinu Admoid. The Ira the cave is very, very small. Bechol of Sha'amaboy. Velomelo, you battle the Miyuta. So why don't you say Bittel Beroyd? How often do you have a the Imtoimer in a Rambam? The Imtoimer is usually in Toysus. The Imtoimer, Frank the Rambam. Loshana Rambam. Valley Ira Kevah, Dover Kotinu Admoid, Bechol of Sha'amaboy. Velomelo, you battle the Miyuta. Says the Rambam, no Vishalimar, but But says the Rambam, "Bepnei shu amaymed esakvina." V'ha'yo v'daber ha'asa hu shehemid harei hu asa k'may sheyizbar. Says the Rambam along this. He says that being that the or of the keva, its function is to take the milk and make it into cheese. Its purpose is to be a dover hamaimid. It's for that reason it's not bottle. And the one this is gevaldi, because we know the only time you say bittel beroyv is if the miut is not nicker. If you see the miut, if you know which hamburger is non-kosher, if you can identify, right, what was the first thing in the Mishnah daf tzadik vav amid beis? You see the gedanosh, you get rid of it. The first thing you do is you get, the Mishnah even say it. Rashi had to speak it out in the Mishnah. If you take a look in the Mishnah, tzadik vav amid beis, it's so pasha. If it's nicker that davar mu'at, there's no bittul beroy. So anything that's nicker, you have to get rid of. Says the Rambam, the oir kevas nevela is always going to be nicker in cheese. Because when you look at the cheese, you're going to see it stands. It's a solid. What made it a solid? It was the oir of the kevas nevela. So being that's what made it a solid, it's always nicker. The Dover HaMaimid makes it nicker. Once it's nicker, there's no bittul beroyv. As I state in Rambam, Hilchas Macholos Asuras, the Rima Gash, who was the Rambam's Rebbe, said the same Mahalach. And that's the first, and that's the Iker Pshat in the Rishonim, why it is that the Ur Kevas Nevela is not Bakal. But there's another Pshat in the Rishonim. And that is the Rajba in a Tshuva. The Rajba in the Tshuva was asked the question. In his time, there was a certain medication that people used that had in it Chometz. It had in it what back in the day was vinegar, spoiled wine. And there was wine. And this wine is Stam Yenam Shalev De Kechavim, which of course we know is Osir. It's a filu be'elofloi bottle when it's in the Taruvah Zamim B'minai. If it's a Taruvah Zamim B'she'enai Minai, at the very least it's bottle, but it's only bottle B'shishim. It's something that's Osir. And they asked the Rajba, they want to know, is it okay for a Jew to take this medication? I mean, it's clearly not a question of B'koch Nefesh, because then, of course, they'd be allowed to. But the Shaila was, is this okay as an antibiotic? Is this something that's fine? Can somebody take this medication despite the fact that it has in it a little bit of Stam Yenon? Said the Rajba, you can't. And it's like the Rajba, don't tell me that little bit of Stam Yenon is Batal. It's Batal B'Shishim. It's Batal B'Elef. He says, because over here you don't say Bittul. Why not? Says the Rambam, a tremendous lumdus. He says, Sharei Ikroi Kach. Because this little bit of non-kosher wine is one of the ingredients of this mashka. It's not something that's punked there. It's one of the ingredients. V'chol she'ikrei kach, ein a bottle b'miyutai. Anything that's ikrei kach is not bottle. Meaning, even though there's halach of issa v'hetet, there's halach of bittul beroy, bittul b'shishin, etc. But that's only if punked the ingredient happens to be there. But if it's there, not punked, it's ikrei, it's darke b'kach, that is one of the core ingredients of this food. In that case, the halach is, you do not say bittul b'shishin. And then the Rajba was mayrich, and the Rajba says, I'll prove it to you. You know what my Rai is? Avodazor lamin hey. Because the Gemara says, Gvina sakim is asr. Not for the same reason Cholav akim is asr. For a new reason. And Shmuel is one of the reasons. That's the reason that's brought down the Maisa. Mipnesha ma'midin oisai ba'ar kevas nevela. Frank, the Rajba, you're worried about the ar kevas nevela. It's a double mood. That double mood is batal ba'elef. Said the Rajba, you know what the Teretz is? The Teretz is that being that the ar kevas nevela is not punked there, it's one of the ingredients. It's supposed to be there. I mean that it's supposed to be there. It's urchoy bekach, it's tarke bekach, it's ikroy bekach. In that case, you do not say the halacha bittul. In other words, the Rajba said that the halacha gvinos akum is a major lumdus. It's a game-changing lumdus, as we'll see, in the laws of kashrus. Said the Rajba that any time you have a dover mu'at, which is batal be'elef, but it's ikroi bekach, it's urchei bekach, b'chai gavno, it's going to be an issue. Either way. So Rabbi Geffen sat down to write a tshuva. And he had now had access, amazingly, to the secret formula of Coca-Cola. And he realized that one of the ingredients that was there was glycerin. Glycerin is an animal byproduct. It comes from an animal. That animal is either a non-kosher animal, even if it's a kosher animal, didn't have a proper shechita. So as a result, it's a bliya of iser. So said Rabbi Geffen, muschel rishon, it's batal. It's batal afilu be'elef. But muschel sheni, there's a rajba. There's a rajba in a tshuva. I mean that there's a rajba in a tshuva, said the Rav Geffen, there's no way in the world, he said there's no way in the world that we could be moderate, because it's a Rajba. The Rajba said, where it's Urka Bekach, it's no different than that antibiotic that was being sold in the Rajba's times. And the Rajba said, it's a problem, and if it's a problem, it's not okay. And Rav Geffen went back to Mr. Harold Hirsch, And he told him, I have some bad news. And my news is that unfortunately, Coca-Cola is not kosher. There's glycerin inside of it. If you drink Coke, you're drinking a vela. It's a very big problem. He said, there's nothing I can do. It's absolutely, positively not kosher. So what do you do? Ayid Gitzachanaitza. So he had heard that there were a lot of food manufacturers that were replacing animal glycerin with vegetable glycerin. Meaning the same glycerin byproduct that you can extract from an animal, you could also extract from vegetables, from natural sources. And this is incredible. It's incredible from a kosher standpoint, but it's even more incredible if you think about it from a Coca-Cola perspective. He was able to get Harold Hirsch to get Coca-Cola to change the ingredients of Coke. And they were masking to replace animal glycerin with vegetable glycerin. As a result, he felt it was kosher. And from that point forward, he was comfortable giving a hechsher on Coca-Cola. It's fascinating. The problem is, and this is the question if you think about it, what happened, like what was going on in the 1920s and the 1930s? I mean, there was Pashkevillian all over the place. Coca-Cola is kosher in the Paradise Journal and in the newspapers. I mean, before Rabbi Geffen, so we were drinking glycerin. So, I mean, nobody gave Ashkacha on it? This was Stam in the Welterites. A lot has been written about this, but I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. So, Rabbi Bienenfeld shared with me a picture. He actually showed me the actual bottle cap. He didn't let me keep it. But he showed me the actual bottle cap. But I have a picture of it. And this is a bottle cap. If there's a date on it, Coca-Cola, it says Tofrech Sadeg Aleph. It says Kosher JB La Pesach Tofrech Sadeg Aleph. It's kosher. JB, initials. La Pesach. So it's kosher La Pesach. 1931. So who's JB? So JB is Rabbi Jacob Bienenfeld, who was Rabbi Bienenfeld's grandfather. Turns out, Rabbi Bienenfeld's grandfather gave the hechsher on Coca-Cola in 1931. And he told me that he had heard from his father, who heard from his Zayda, that his Zayda used to say that the reason Coca-Cola is kosher is because it's a Noida B'Yehuda. He used to say it's a Mefurish Noida B'Yehuda. It's a Noida B'Yehuda. What's this Noida B'Yehuda? It's a Rashba that says it's not kosher. What's this Noida B'Yehuda? It's a Noida B'Yehuda in Yeridea, Madura Tinyana, Simen Nun Vav. The Yehuda was asked to Shaila about a drink that apparently is still popular in Belarus. It's called Krambabua. So Krambabua is an alcoholic beverage. This is Pashin in time of Inyana D'Yoma. It's already Rosh Chodesh Adesheni. So by now everybody's drinking. So Rosh Chodesh Adesheni, it seems like there's everything in it. There's wine, there's vodka, there's scotch, there's bourbon. Everything is there. It's a taruvus of minim. It's clearly an alcoholic beverage. Problem is, one of the ingredients is yayin. And they asked the Noida B'Yehuda, is it okay to drink this? Because if there's yayin over here, it's yayin. It's stam yayinam. Stam yayinam is asa b'shtiyah. It's asa b'ana. And the Noida B'Yehuda wrote a tshuva be'inyin, this drink, she'oisim miyayin sorav she'koyrin krambabui fereski v'doymeya. Either way, this is the truth in the Noida B'Yehuda. So he said like this. He said that Muscharishin, you're going to tell me it's a Rashba. The Rashba said that if you have an ingredient that's batul be'elef, but it's ikroy bekach, it's darkoy bekach, it's urche bekach. This is one of the key ingredients in this taruvus. The halach is you don't say bitul. You're not allowed to drink it. But says the Rashba, said that Noida B'Yehuda, although the Rashba said it, asher be'emes arye shod milo yira milaharim rosh neged Rashba. Who could go connected to Rashba? And he says, but Frad, the Rashba's basing his pshat in the Sugya really on a Ravid who's married the Haisfar. See, you have the Rashba and the Ravid. He says, Achamino, Hari Motzinu Gamkin Amude Oilam the Leslu Hachsvara. There's Amude Oilam that don't hold to that Svara. Who are the Amude Oilam? The Rambam. The Rambam had a whole different pshat in the Sugya. Where did the Rashba get his lumdas from? That if something's an ingredient, it doesn't become bottle. He learned it from Avodah Zarah Lamed Hem and Aleph. What do you see in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hem and Aleph? What you see over there is that there's something called Or Kevas Nevela, Gvinos Akim, and even though the Or of the Kevas Nevela is a double mood, still it's not bottle. Question is why? So the Rashba said, I'll hold on this, why not? But Ram said a different shot. Ram said it's a Dover Amaimit. I mean that it's a Dover Amaimit, it's for that reason. It's for that reason that it's not going to be an issue. In other words, if you learn the Sugyan of the Zohar, like the Rambam and the Rima, gosh, then there's not going to be a problem. Says the Noyde B'Yehuda. If that's the case, in Kain, Harelucha HaRambam, the Rabbi Rabbeinu Yosef HaLevi, Achilkan Alsfaras HaRavid VaRashba. And if that's the case, Amin. You know, it's poshut to me that you could be mekel like the Rambam and you could be mekel like the Rimagash. And he says, halacha l'maisa, I have absolutely no problem with it. Drink the cranberry, gesundheit. responsibly. But the point is, he could drink it. He says, why? The night of Yehuda? Because at the end of the day, it's true there's a Rashba. Oh, but the Rashba, this Rashba wasn't just said in a vacuum. He said it to explain a Gemara about the Zohar, the Flamin Hay. I mean that he said it to explain a Gemara about the Zohar, the Flamin Hay. We have another beer in this Gemara and about the Zohar, the Flamin Hay. So we're not Meshubit to the Rashba anymore. We have other Pshatim. It's the Rashba on the one hand, but it's the Rambam on the other hand. And if it's the Rambam on the other hand, he held for that reason that it's something that's going to be okay. Either way, so Rabbi Bienenfeld said that his Zeda, who, in addition to being a Baki Beshasu Poiskim, he was also, he had a doctorate degree from Columbia University, he was someone who understood the science, right? You see, Rabbi Geffen was muching with the science a little bit. He gave it to his daughter, who was studying chemistry, but the point is, there was a huge scientific component to this, a technical component you had to be familiar with. But either way, he was someone that was very versed in this area. Apparently, he had been granted access as well, and he knew that there was glycerin there. This was something that he was privy to, but at the same time, based on a truth from the Neid Behuda, it was something that he went ahead and he was matter. Now, the truth is, as it relates to Halacha L'maisa, this Neid Behuda is considered a Chiddush. Meaning, a lot of poiskim today, and most poiskim do not go with the Neid Behuda, and most people are not going to drink something that's going to go keneged this Rashba. The truth is, you have to take a look at the Shulchan Aruch at the end of Simon Kuf Lamed Daled. The Neid Behuda seems to think that the Mechaber held like him, although the Pashas and the Mechaber is like the Rashba, Yeridei Kuf Lamed Daled, the last Sivkotan, and the Kama Kumas and Hishtabru, there's a lot of raid on this Neid Behuda, how the Neid Behuda could have thought the Mechaber held not like the Rashba when the Mechaber seems to be paskining, yeah, like the Rashba, but really, this is something that affects a lot of areas in halacha. For example, the sherry cask issue. What's the issue with sherry cask? The issue with sherry cask is that they would store whiskeys, they still do, in casks that wine was previously stored in. So a little bit of blias of yayin. So what's the issue? So what's the problem? That little bit of yayin, that's mimbish ein amina, it's bottle b'shishim. So what's the problem? Why in the world should that be an issue? The issue would be the Rashba. The whole sherry cask issue begins with the Rashba. Loit the Neid B'Yehud, that's not about Neid B'Yehud's tshuva. The Neid B'Yehud was talking about something that was more than sherry cask. Sherry, it just sits there and it comes in because the blias are absorbed in the cask and it goes from there into the scotch. That's the issue. But as it relates to the Neid B'Yehud was talking where they were literally pouring wine into it. The hell was fine. The hell was kosher. So it's not a problem. Either Rashba, yeah, but there's a Rambam not that way. And he held in Halacha to be Mekel like the Rambam, not to be Machmel like the Rashba. So this whole issue is something that's predicated on that. But the truth is, if you think about it even more, and Metz Shem will save this for part two, is that there's a lot of lumdus here also. Number one, the Halacha is Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila. What does Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila mean? You're not allowed to go ahead, and you're not allowed to take a tipas cholov and pour it into your pot of chicken soup. Ah, it's going to be batel b'shishim. It doesn't matter. Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila. Not just that, but if someone is Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila, the Halacha is that you're not allowed to eat from this taruvas. And if you ask somebody to be Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila for you, you're also not allowed to go ahead and do it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you do it or someone else does it for you. It's going to technically be... So here's the question. The question is, what does Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila mean? Does that then mean that the only time you say bittel is if the taruvas happened by accident? Is that what Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila means? Meaning, if it was an accident, they said, but if someone was Mevatlin, whether I did it or someone else did it for me, or even if a guy did it, or even if it's done in a commercial factory by machines and robots, it's gonna be a problem. Because Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila means it has that maya, or maybe Ein Mevatlin means it's a maisa. I can't do the maisa bittel. But let's say a guy did it for me, or not for me, he just did it to sell it, and punkt, I'm going ahead and buying it, so maybe you could apply the halachas of Amir L'Akum, etc. So maybe in that case, it's not gonna be an issue. Meaning, there may be an Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila component, depending on how exactly you understand the lumdus of Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila. Another big issue is glycerin even a problem? Is it so poshut that you're not allowed to eat the animal byproduct? Gelatin, right? Is gelatin kosher? So the truth is, you ask the man on the street, say, of course it's not kosher. But the truth is, the truth is written by Chaim Moser, and it's not so poshut. Not everybody holds that gelatin is a problem. Now, of course, no one gives ashkachas on gelatin. But the point is that it's not so, that's kosher gelatin. But it's not so poshut that, it's a problem. Because although it's true, it's a byproduct of a non-kosher animal, but at the same time, there's a panim chadashes, it's not the same, you know, there's a lot of work that's done to this gelatin before it ends up in your jelly beans. The point is, it's Baalma, exactly. So there's a lot of this raid. The bottom line is that it's a fascinating discussion, and this is only part one. Again, I want to thank Rabbi Bienenfeld. I hope I did it a little bit of justice, but regardless, Metz Hashem, if time allows, we'll pick up with the second part of this discussion.